Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hearthworld, a Hearthstone podcast. I'm Gabriel, also known as Siddhartha, and here with me we have.
Francesco, also known as Royal Mail. Welcome back to the second episode.
Yeah, so it's been a while since we recorded an episode. We were quite busy, we're both of us are quite involved in the Italian Hearthstone scene, and we're kind of trying to move the waters in Italy and see if we can get some Blizzard presence back to Italy.
Exactly,
So
something to happen.
yeah, so actually, so this just to recap of what we are, this is a Hearthstone podcast, and we will discuss every aspect of Hearthstone, starting from the decks, cards, meta talk, and even live events and upcoming changes and patches and card analysis. So why don't we jump right into this week's meta talk? Why don't you
Yeah,
introduce us
sure.
in this week's meta talk, Roy?
Well, the thing is, this week, at least for what I've found so far, it looks like there's zoo everywhere. Like, pretty much almost all of the warlocks I've found so far. Like, out of 100 games, I've found about 30 to 40 warlocks, and of which 20 were zoo. So, of the EU ladder for the zoo, and at the moment it's quite common, the new version of it, the new, it's called Modnik, from the player that is using it, who actually first wrote it down. And it's basically a zoo deck that doesn't exploit, doesn't use the demon synergy. It's instead Bran, Gormok, and the sea giants to win, and of course Dotemu. So it's pretty interesting because Gormok, it's a strange legendary, because if you're winning already, big swings of power, because 4 mana, 4/4, that deals 4 damage, is pretty good. And if you can manage to combo it with Bran, yeah, who doesn't like 8 damage burst on a target? So pretty much kills something. Or as I've seen the other day, the guy did double power overwhelming in Gormok. 16 damage for 6 mana, for 8, let's see, first, yeah, 6 mana, yeah. 16 damage for 6 mana sounds pretty legit, huh?
Yeah, that's quite crazy. I mean, it's the same old zoo, but with all these new additions, it's just going over the top. That Bran, Bronzebeard, and Gormok, as you said, and also I see that Dark Peddler in the list. That is it's a new addition, and I already have my Golden Warlock. I already did my 500 wins, or I mainly did them with Zoo, but that was back
Yeah,
in the
of
old
course.
days, so it was like the old vanilla zoo where you had Alpha Wolf and all that kind of the old stuff, Iron Beak, Owl, Knife Juggler, what all this stuff that you
Yeah.
see in this list, less the few new cards. And it's this deck is very concentrated about on the board control, so you really have to gain board control in the early game, and it kind of phases in the mid game, and you have to know when to switch from in the main during the main game. You have to know when to switch from board control to aggression, because there's a certain time where there's a certain period of time where you have to switch to aggressiveness and do the combo, as you said, where you have to just go face. Otherwise, it's just the same old trading zoo. And I quite encountered I ca encountered it a lot in on the ladder, and I fight it off with Dragon Priest. How about yourself? Are you playing it or are you playing against it?
I did a bit of both, actually, and of course, like, Sea Giant also pretty much helps in just switching this from board control to aggression, because you play it for like 4 mana, 5 mana, and playing an 8/8 for 4 or 5 mana, it's pretty good, especially after an implosion that removes a target from the opponent. And yes, I played it a bit, and it's pretty fun, but I've countered with my Aggro Paladin. I've just simply used, also called Eboladin, or whatever, it's Aggrodin, Aggro Paladin, Shokadin, and that exploits the fact that you have many little drops that you empty your hand pretty fast, and then you refill it with Divine Favor, and you have all these charged Divine Shield things that get buffed and kill the opponent pretty fast. So basically, the zoo can't really keep up with it, and if you just aggro him really hard, you just can't control, because he can't use his your power. because what makes this a strong deck is the fact that he can tap for basically sacrifice health to gain card draws. That is really good and really important to keep the aggression. But if you put him in a position in which he can't use the hero power because he will get himself too low to play, and you can keep on putting in aggression, that's the turning point in which you can just, yep, I'm going to mark you up and you're going to be dead. So it's pretty good so far. It's good. It's going well.
So I see this deck is missing that 1/1 that costs 1 that gains +5, +4, +4.
Reliquary Seeker. Yep. Reliquary Seeker.
It's not in this deck. It's not in this list.
Yeah, it's not. Because, see, the point is you can always get it from the peddler. And the point as well is that if you're already winning, it's a good card. But if you're losing, it's basically a 1/1 for 1. So it's not really the best. It's too situational. And of course, sometimes you're going to play it as a 4/4. And one out of 100 games or whatever, you can play it as a 9/9 because you have Bran on the field. So it gets +8/+8. But it will be like once, seriously, in like 100 games. So it's not really worthwhile to be included in the list. There's more cards that are actually much more useful. And if you have the Peddler, and maybe you use the Bran Peddler to get two cards and get 2/1 drops, one of them could be that one. And just, you know what, I'm just going to, with 4 mana, I can put Peddler, draw 2 cards, of which they would 1 mana drop and put two creatures. So that could be possible to do later in the game. But you don't need it in the main deck list. You just hope to get it from the Peddlers if you want it.
So I feel that Bran is just a crazy addition to this deck. So if you drop a bigger threat like Sea Giants or Dr. Boom, people, even if they want to kill Bran, they kind of concentrate on the bigger threat. And in the meanwhile, from the back, you can come with an Abusive Surgeon or a Dark Peddler, and you can gain huge amount of value from it. Or even just, you know, just dropping a 4-bomb Dr. Boom is just something incredible.
Yes, exactly.
So I just wanted to know, you were saying that you were fighting this deck off in the trade wars with Ebola, the Agro Paladin, the one that doesn't run, or only runs Avenge.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, you don't run Avenge. But I'm just curious, do you run Consecration to fight off this kind of deck?
Yes, of course.
Consecration is not a card that you would usually play in an aggro paladin. I mean, yes, you could play it, but it's not fundamental.
And sometimes play once or twice, but I do run 2 copies, because when you fight Zoo, and if they use Implosion to get control of the board to trade up a minion and get minions for themselves, with 1 Consecration, you reset the board and let's start again. So for them, it's a really big swing.
When I was playing Aggrodin for a while before Secretin came out, I wasn't playing Consecration. I was playing the 3 damage draw card for Reach.
Armor of Draw? Armor of Wrath?
Yes, I was playing that just for the Reach, because you need it to finish them off. And talking about this Modgnik Zoo, this is still a Zoo deck. So the concept here is that if you lose board control, yes, your hero power can help you get back to card advantage and eventually drop stuff on the board and get board advantage back. But if you lose it initially, it's quite hard to come back, because it's not running the 5/7 demons with charge that can help you gain your board back. So losing the board with this deck is very, very bad, and it's crucial to win the initial turn 3 trade wars with your Haunted Creepers and Argent Squires and stuff like that. This is what I think about this deck. And the rest looks like everything works like an old Zoo, except the new additions, which are just great. Gormok, I feel that Gormok, you can't always activate it. I mean, you don't always have the conditions to activate it if you're playing another trade deck, because you usually trading minions and you never get the chance to reach 4 minions. But if you do against a control deck, it's quite a good card.
Yeah, of course, because the point is, in the worst case, the 4/4/4, that is not too bad. It's not exceptional, but it's either not completely crap. So, I mean, it's just like one health under a Yeti. So, assuming Yeti. So, it's okay. It's decent if you just need it as a body. But when you use it to put a 4/4/4 damage, it can create big swings in board control that is actually can bring you to victory. So.
So one last thing before we leave this deck, I just want to say something we're going to talk about later is that that we organize fireside gatherings and tournaments with championship points. There's, I say, maybe 90% of the people who attended our last fireside gathering brought a zoo or a variant of zoo, and that just shows how, I mean, how d good or d decent this deck is, and how, I mean, I think it's easy to play. So that's another thing that why another reason why everybody's playing it. So everybody brought it to this last tournament we me and Roy were at, and actually made this fireside gathering. So for our next, are you done, Roy? Do you want to add anything else?
Well, the thing is, the zoo is a pretty solid deck, and if you know how to play it, it's not too hard. So the point is that as the good matchups around the clock, like it's really good against Druid. It is one of the most common class that has been taken into tournaments in general. Like we have the data from the winter preliminaries that we'll talk about more on that later. And the most used class were Warlock, Druid, and Paladin. And Druid struggles against Zoo because unless he sees a big innovate turns or swipe after swipe after swipe, he just simply can't keep up with the board. Tries fight Druids in tournaments, there's lots of Druids and lots of the classes that count as Druid and more or control warrior as well. Good matchup for Zoo decks. Not a bad deck to take to a tournament and as well. Winter Preliminaries, most of them actually play Warlock. So all of them Warlock pretty much and most of them Druid. So
Okay.
it's not surprised I'd say.
Yeah, okay. So for our next argument I want to talk about, I just want to go over the quick I want to go quickly over the latest Temper Storm meta snapshot, which would be number 48, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, I guess so.
Yes, and on the Temper Storm meta snapshot, we have on tier one, we have number one mid-range Druid, Secret Paladin, Zolok, and Patron Warrior. I just want to say one thing. These are all great decks, but I've found lately that it's easier for me to play anti-meta.
Yep, of
I've
course.
rediscovered Priest as a class. I've always despised it. I've just used it for
Yeah, me too.
adventures, mainly to do the what's that inner fire combo. That's it. That's what I use it for, the adventures. But I can tell you that Dragon Priest really holds up well against all these four classes, because it's just a taunt after another taunt after another taunt. And that deck also runs Brand Bronzebeard, which, if coupled, it basically doubles up every dragon you play, because most of them have battle cries. So I don't want to go deeply.
Also, the Black Incorruptor. Black Incorruptor is like 6 damage to a target, so it's pretty much killed something.
Not only one, but the museum, what's that guy called? The museum, that one too,
Museum Curator, yep.
Museum Creator
Museum Curator, yep.
with Bran is just crazy, crazy. But I don't want to go deep into the dragon deck. I just want to. What I think is that Dragon has a nice win percentage against all these decks. What do you think about this meta snapshot, and what would you play, Roy?
Well, the thing is, for example, except for Patron Warrior, Temple Mage should be a pretty good choice today. Because, for example, the only one that is losing by it's Patron Warrior because all the pings and effects sometimes can actually help the Patron Warrior instead of actually removing things. But as a general rule, it's favored against Patron Warrior. The thing is, in against Temple Mage, Patron Warrior is actually stronger against the Temple Mage. But about everything else. Like, for example, Zulok and Secret Paladin, all of them have a decent matchup against them. So, and it's really good against the Druid. So Temple Mage is a real pain in the ass from Druid, and everyone is playing Druid and Ladder. Like, pretty much, that's what I found as well on EU. Everyone is playing Druid, Secret Paladin, Zulok. Druid, Secret Paladin, Zulok, and nothing else. So Temple Mage should be a good deck to take on Ladder today to try and reach Legend.
Mm. I feel that Temple Mage, I mean, the draw is the most important phase, the mulligan, and you really need to draw well.
Yeah.
Even though you do have a high percentage chance to draw well, because most of your cards are cheap and low costed. So it's more often that you would draw well rather than worse. But you still have that. Yeah. I mean, with every deck, you have a bad percentage that would. You would draw bad and not play it well. So going on, I just want to do a quick mention about the Brawl. And this, I don't remember the name itself, but it was quite a fun mechanic. I played maybe 4 or 5 games, not many more, but the mechanic of this past week's Brawl was face is town. So it's basically faces is the place. Yeah.
This is the place. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it has to be the place. Yeah.
You would start out with 30 HP and 10 armor, and your face is the only town. The other towns you would play from your hand wouldn't count as much as your face itself. So every damage.
No, they actually do. They actually do. If someone played a taunt, you can choose, but if it's like the minion or the face.
Oh,
the
okay.
face can't be taunted. You could have chosen. I have found a guy that he played Argus everywhere, and it's like, yeah, this guy didn't really understand how the brawl is going, but well, win. But yeah, you could always attack face, pretty much. So that was pretty good.
Okay. Well, I played. Oddly enough, I played warrior because I was trying. I tried the armor thing and tried to outlast my opponent, and it worked out well for me. I know that having board clears was quite important in this brawl because you could only interact with the face, so you could build up a board from behind and anything would work out. So any minion would work out in this brawl, and it would be protected by your face. So board clears were a bit important, in my opinion. Do you have anything to add, Roy?
Yeah, no, there's many. There's a cool mechanics to give taunts to the face because you can protect. For example, I use mage instead, and as soon as I saw that you have to attack face, it's like, what happens if I play in an animated armor? But so my face only get a damage per turn per source. Sorry. So you're like, interesting. And I actually went like 3 or 4 wins in a row. But because people couldn't really remove the animated armor and they couldn't, everything they had, they were like one attack. So I'm like, yep, I don't care.
And how about Mal'Ganis? Did you encounter it? What would the mechanic be there? Do you know? Have any idea?
Yes, because basically, if you use Mal'Ganis and you make yourself immune, I can bypass your taunt. Because if you have Mal'Ganis, I can then attack whatever I want. Because if you are immune, you basically lose taunt.
Okay.
So, I could simply attack Mal'Ganis and then reverse attacking your face.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, that's why not many people played Mal'Ganis.
So, after this dip in the meta talk of these past weeks and the brawl and whatsoever, and I just want to go on and talk about the the really big news.
Really big news, exactly.
We're late on it because we've been recording just now, but we've been quite excited, trust us. I mean, we've been very excited. So
really excited.
Why don't you give the news, Roy? I'll give you this the pleasure to throw out the news.
Well, the thing is, I'm pretty sure that all of you already know, unless you've been living under a rock. But soon, we are expecting the end of March because the announcement said spring. So I'd guess the end of March, there will be a new expansion, but not only that, because that will create the first format for Wild and Standard. Wild will always be every touch every card from every expansion ever released. So, because, you know, he's going to get wild with all the combo and crazy stuff happening there. So, we'll see how that goes. And standard will be the last 2 years of content. And because the first content of this year, so the new upcoming expansion, will push out the 2014 content. So there'll be Naxxramas and GVG. There will be Goblin versus Gnomes, will be pushed out of the standard. So we will lose so many cards, so many good cards. Classes like the Secret Paladin, for example, will lose pretty much all the early game because the Mini Bot, Master for Battle, Paladin Shredder, Sludge Belcher, they all go away. So they'll be Lothab. They'll lose their turn from turn 2 to turn 5, they'll just completely gone. Dr. Boom will go away. I'm meta without Dr. Boom. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm really, really eager to see that one.
Well, I must say something. I crafted my golden Dr. Boom a month ago. So I'll be playing wild, so I'm not crying. I'm not crying. Don't worry. I'm not crying.
Yeah,
but
that's one of the things that I always struggle to explain to everyone. Like, at least many, many, many people are losing their minds about, what am I going to do with my cards now? Dude, you want to go for a World Cup? Well, not really. There you go. Then play whatever the hell you like. The rewards at the end of the month, they will be given depending on the highest rank between the two. So it's beautiful. Just playing wild and reach legend or whatever, and that's it. Absolutely nothing for you. Do you want to use, you're going to focus on standard to be competitive? Good. You can disenchant all your cards from the GVG and Naxxramas, because now with the new update will come out, you'll be able to disenchant all cards from the adventures. And of course, you will only be able to craft them if you unlock them. So basically now buying an adventure will give you cards that you can actually disenchant if you want, as a boost, if so to speak,
so,
at least once.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that they're actually going to remove the adventure itself from the client for actual memory space
shop,
reason.
Yeah,
yeah, not only from the shop, but whoever has it is not going to be able to play it anymore because they want to keep the game, the space, the size of the game to a limited, I mean, around 1 gigabyte because of purposes.
I didn't hear about
That's what I've heard. I'm not sure on that, but I've heard that you're not going to. But I've also heard on the second note that they're not going to, I mean, they're not going to be lost forever. They might be cycling them in for something like Tavern Brawl or something like that, you know? They would cycle them back in. So they don't want to have a big file size for smartphones, any kind of smartphone. That's what I've heard.
Okay.
Because the more you input, it's not only the single card art, but it's also, you know, the speech
the
and all the
and all the
exactly. The card, each card has a speech file for every language, you know. So
yep.
It's time. I don't know how many languages, but you have to multiply that for each language. And another point I just want to quickly make is that WCS points and World Championship will be standard. So that will be the main competitive game
format.
Format. But doesn't mean that Wild should be thrown out, because I think that we might see the craziest stuff in Wild itself. And I'll be playing both. Everybody, I've heard complaining a lot about losing the old cards in the standard format, but you don't know what you're going to get. So, you know, you're going to lose.
We have no idea. Yeah.
You know, you're going to lose Healbot. You know, you're going to lose Sludge Belchers. You know, you're going to lose many, many important cards, but you don't know what you're going to get. So they've said they don't intend to reprint in the close future, but I'm sure we'll see similar cards with similar mechanics that will kind of fill the empty spots. And
yes,
I hope that happens. Not only that, they also said that they're going to they're going to change cards from the old expansion as the vanilla expansion is always going to be in the game as the basic block, game block, where you can, I mean, that's not never going to disappear. So you're going to have that, and
exactly.
That's where you're going to start building your collection from.
So yeah, basically, just to restart on the topic, the fact that they said already they're gonna nerf slash change some of the cards, old cards, because classes like the Druid, they basically use most of the basic cards, like classic and basic cards. Basically, the Druid, most of their decks are actually made from using classic and basic cards, and that's what they want to a point. So, for example, they already said that they're looking at, that means we are going to nerf the combo, of course, like the Force of Nature Savage Roar combo, and other cards from the Druids. But we're not sure yet. They said, though, that Keeper of the Grove and Ancient of Lore, they're not looking. Like, some people said they're not looking it. Some people said they are looking it, so we don't really know what they're going to do about it. But Bembrod, I think, said they'll nerf more than 2, less than 20. So we don't know yet, of course. It could be even 10, 12. Exactly. Yeah, more than 2, less than 20. Yeah, all right. Thank you for the information. But they said already they're looking also at Leper Gnome and Knife Juggler. So I don't know. What Knife Juggler, for example, maybe they'll change it. Like a decent nerf would be that he is only going on the minions and not on the face. So he can use that to gain face damage, but it could also be a buff, depends on how you will see it, because if you want to use the juggler to control the board, that would be really good, but if you want to use the juggler aggressively to actually deal damage to the face, then you can't use that way. But and Leopardome, everyone is saying that it's just gonna do a damage instead of 2.
Wow.
Because maybe 2 is too much. Yeah. Wow. So we don't know yet. Because also Kriparian was saying, for example, that with the new cards, all this interaction and combos and shit, it's really, really, really combo and stuff. It's really, really hard for a control mid-range deck to come back from really aggro start, because 30 health is starting to be too low. Like classes like Face Shaman bring you like on 15 by turn 4, turn 5. You're like, dude, it's like half of the game and already half life. Wait, should be like slow down a bit, man. Okay, that the Shaman is going to lose the Crackle, for example, so that it's a big source of damage. But again, we don't know what he's going to get, so we can only wonder
where
he's going.
So I feel this kind of formatting is very, very taken from Magic. So it's Magic, kind of doing of T1 and T2, where everything is playable and the other one is just the last releases. But as everybody knows already, this gives the game a chance to live on for, not forever, but for a decent amount of time. So that's the good news. And obviously, to move into this new format and do this change requires some adaptation from previous cards from the basic set, for example, to allow new sets to come out and not interfere with the old design. And this kind of really, the fact that they're doing this means that they do care about the game. I mean, they obviously do they have, I don't know, 30, 40 million players, but it also means that we're going to have this game for a while. And, might be good or might be bad. I don't know. Depends how much you play. So, I mean, I play a bit. I play a lot on YouTube.
I do. So, just a bit, yep.
So, yeah, I mean, both of us are quite excited and we're happy. I'm not going to say now that I'm only going to play one format or only going to play another format. But I think I'll discover once it comes out. And, I'm looking forward to the wild more than the standard. Honestly, so I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah, so, I'm personally really eager to play Standard to get a fresh start, like a different meta, completely different meta, completely different decks, completely different everything. So I'm actually really excited about it.
Yeah, indeed. So why don't we move on? And we wanted to talk about a little bit about esports and what happened during the WCS series. This past weekend, two weekends ago, actually. So the European preliminaries happens. And why don't you read us out the winners and in your opinions, I mean, or whatever.
Yeah, sure. Like, for example, the top 8 players, so the people that qualified for the big tournaments are Dr. Hippie, Pokrovac, Nixley, Diggen, Tars, Cereza, Bunny Hopper, and Nyman. And the only player that is actually new before, no, I don't want to say famous, but at least has been heard before, is this number 8 Naaman. And everyone else is just new players. That it's a good thing and a bad thing, for example, because it means that lots of new people are actually trying to get competitive on the game. But you can also see that how all the old pros are actually tired of the format. They're really tired of playing the same old game, the same class. Everyone is playing Warlock, Druid, Paladin. And it's really, really, really sad to see the meta so stale, so stagnant. But thanks God, Standard will probably change a lot. So I want to bet that we're going to see many more professional players, or at least famous players, like Life Coach and whatnot. We'll probably see them up there. I don't even know. I'm not even sure if he was qualified for the event or less. If he played, I'm not 100% sure. I know from Italy were 5 players. They went there from Italy. And their names were... Jedi89, yeah. Jamja, Inivan, Sol Goodman, and Snowman. And none of them, sadly, managed to reach the top 8. But so, they try hard, and we'll try them again.
I just want to say something small. I know a couple of them, and I know their manager. And I'm quite upset about the fact that they all had to be flown out to Zurich to play out this winter preliminary.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be honest here, and I'm sure you agree with me. We're kind of being left out the whole entire, what you call it, the whole entire world business. Championship. Yeah, business. Yeah. The whole entire world championship. Italy is not included. We did not have any preliminaries in Italy or any place where you could play at the preliminaries for these 5 Italian people. And people, you know, we have players, we have people who are interested, we have viewership, we have, you know, we have the numbers to do this. And not only this, exactly. Just let me finish a second. We did not have any tavern here fireside gatherings in Italy. So this was a special fireside gathering that would grant, if I'm not mistaken, it would grant you direct access to the preliminaries. And we were left out for both these things, which kind of leaves me with a bitter taste in my mouth. But at the same time, me and my association, you and your association, Roy, we are doing our best to bring back some Showtime, Hearthstone Showtime, Blizzard Showtime to Italy.
In Italy, yeah.
Yes, me and my association, together with Roy's association, we recently had a fireside gathering. Actually, it was 2 days ago on Saturday. And the new thing and the exciting thing was that me and my colleague requested WCS points to be given out in Italy. So that was the first live event in Italy ever done with WCS points. But why don't you go on with your preliminary analysis, Roy? It was just a little bit of salt from my... Sorry, yeah. I'm a little bit salty. It's something I really care about, and I get a little bit salty. So why don't you continue with your preliminary analysis? Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's all right. It's pretty much the same, because we looked at it with a member of my team, and we saw that basically Italy was the... Rome, if you want to say that, because it's the center of Italy. Rome was the furthest capital city on Europe after Reykjavik from Harsland. So if you were from Rome, you were the one in Europe to have to travel the most to reach a preliminary. Like,
crazy.
You had to go to Zurich. It's like 800 kilometers. Like, the only place further than us was Iceland, because it's Reykjavik, and it's in the middle of nowhere. I love Iceland and everything else, but, you know, I suppose that Blizzard could have organized something, I don't want to say in a venue, but in their own offices. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Blizzard has, of course, offices and as a base in Italy.
No, I think they just have retail offices, so those offices are for retail purposes. It's like stock stock offices or something like that. Yeah, I'm sure I agree
Yeah,
with
but
you.
even then,
I
like,
agree
come
with
on,
you. I
you
totally
can
agree.
organize something. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, really, if their thought was, well, whatever, it's Italy, they're gonna travel up to Zurich, and if it's good for them, good. If not, fucking, it's good. Yeah, I get it. But the problem is, for example, we had a player that he had to give up because he said, yeah, I don't have the means to. He was from the south of Italy or even Sicily. I'm not 100% sure, but he was from the south of Italy and said, I don't want to make 1,000 kilometers to go to a preliminary event. And the point that many people didn't understand that it's not like, we need to find a single place for everyone. So, Berlin, that is in the center of Europe, it's fine, whatever. We from all Europe, we go to Berlin and it's good. But you organize these preliminary areas in different capitals, and then people had to play against themselves over the internet. So why wouldn't Shanai be able to play it from home? What does it matter? What was the point? Like, if I need to travel 1,000 kilometers to play on a computer with someone in Romania or Germany or whatever, sure, why should I do that? Why I can't do that from my home? Why? It's the same. What's the point? Why you want to
So the
preclude me
Sicilian
the
kid was in
opportunity?
top 128 and he didn't go?
Yeah, he was
Wow, that
qualified. He
sucks.
had like 7 or 8 points, and you were qualified if you were 6 or higher points.
Yeah.
And he said, I can't go because I simply don't have I don't have the means, because I can't sacrifice a whole weekend and lots of money to maybe be qualified into the thing. And if he was in Rome, it was good, will be okay. But he had to take a plane, and then the car and everything else. It's like, yeah, and it's way too far. It's another country, man. It's like, I don't want to do 1,000 kilometers to reach the preliminary, because you didn't want to make them in Italy. Yeah, so yeah, and I get it. I get it. I get the point of. On top of that, the fact that you were supposed to play over the internet anyway, so sounds pretty strange. Put it that way. Sounds pretty strange.
So
So, but yep.
just to for the future, we both, as I said before, my association and your association, we're moving to do our best to get as much events and attention from Blizzard here in Italy. I've requested the points for the past event. I'm requesting the points for WCS points for an event that we will be holding in Pisa on the 5th and 6th of March, and I hope. And then we have another event in April as well. And I hope the fact that we are requesting all these events, it will allow us to then request for bigger events such as
In Italy, yep.
preliminaries and Tavern Hero tournaments. Because I do understand how you could not organize a tavern preliminary here in Italy, but I really do not understand how Italy was the only European country excluded from the Tavern Hero
Yep.
tournament. So we were not, we did not have we were, the same chances that everybody had. Because, as you know, the winner of the Tavern Hero tournament would have got a direct qualification in the preliminaries, and us Italians did not have that chance. And that's just something that it makes me salty and bitter. I don't want to leave off on a bitter note. Just let's find something to talk about that can leave our listeners with something,
Happy,
a
something
smile instead
nice,
of
yeah.
a grudge.
So basically, well, we can talk about it. We can talk about the new expansion coming out, and Blizzard said there will be more than 150 cards, just to make up of the fact that whole expansion and adventure are gonna exit the standard format, and we don't know yet the topic, well, the background of the expansion, but we think it will be something to do with the demons or like demon-based expansion, because the Blizzard released a video like with a big brawl with all the tribes, different tribes, and demons were actually a doom god was the winning minion of the brawl, and they asked us to think what would that be the reason why
So you
this, why
think
that.
that video was like more than a month old, am I not
Yep.
mistaken? So that's you think that's related to the next
I
expansion?
guess so. Well, I guess so. There were nothing else. Like, because the new expansion is also the one that's called the Year of the Kraken, because they will give each year they'll give them like a zodiacal sign, a zodiac sign
for Warcraft,
from
Zord,
Warhammer,
yeah.
Yeah, from Warcraft. For the Warcraft lore, and so nothing else. We didn't saw anything else regarding the video. So unless they're just messing with our heads, and it's also possible, but you know, I guess the Blizzard does something for a reason, you know. So
yeah,
it's actually like you know, so probably it will be demon based, or maybe like, we don't know, something strange like that. And many other professional players actually thought that, actually hoping that we'll go back to the pre-Naxxramas feeling of Hearthstone, that is, the first 3 to 4 game turns will be in the game, will be the one, the turns in which you get ready to play the late game. Like, there will always be, of course, aggro decks and whatnot, but aggro decks shouldn't be super aggro-ish, sticky board minion.
You want to play mid-range and control.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, the aggro... Like, for example, why everyone played Palter Shredder? Why everyone played on the Creeper? Why? Because they're minions you can't get off the board. Like, you don't remove them. You remove them and something else comes in their place. So the only minion that has a similar effect now, we have the Mounted Raptor for the Druid. So it's only one minion. Any drops are one mana drop. So it's fine. I mean,
it's significant.
Like, it's okay. I mean, in the worst case, you get a Flame Imp or Injured Kvaldi. That is a 2/4 or 3/2. So whatever. Okay, sure. But it will not be anything dangerous like the Doomsayer or Milhouse Mana Storm. Yeah, there's also the Dust Devil, the 3/1 with Wind Fury. But it's a 3/1. I mean, you look at it.
Ping
it
with our,
so it's not a problem. So I hope, and many people actually hope, that the Blizzard going to move with an expansion that is pretty much RNG free. Because
That's a big
big hope. Yeah,
that's a big hope.
Exactly. See, for example, the discovery mechanics is a good RNG because it is RNG, of course, but it's still you still need to choose. You have the power of the, you know, I put my skill of choosing the right card for the right moment, because choosing the wrong card we can actually make me lose the game or win it. So it's not like, well, I'm just gonna play Unstable Portal. And I got Xeraxis or Deathwing, done. Deathwing, 7 mana Deathwing, done. Easy. So, you know, it feels like, you know, you've been cheated of your game if someone has just a stroke of luck with a portal. Well, if someone, for example, with a Museum Curator, as you said before, okay, there will be most likely, I don't know, Sylvanas. Okay, the guy got Sylvanas, but maybe if he had, I don't know, Sludge Belcher, that he won't be able in standard, but a Sludge Belcher, and he chose Sylvanas because, oh man, it's legendary. And I won anyway because I was marking up or whatever, and he needed a taunt, not a big minion. So yeah, you got Sylvanas, but the right choice in that occasion was Sludge Belcher, and you missed it, and you lost the game because your inexpertise instead of the guy was lucky and he won.
Well, so, I agree with you.
It's more like
the controlled or RNG thing where it's actually skill-based. I think I would really love something like that, but I think it would be really hard to replicate a good idea like that one. I mean, that was a very good idea in the beginning. And I think for my personal preference, I would just love, I don't know if you play World of Warcraft, but I would just love to see Uldur expansion set. That's just something I would love. And
yeah, maybe. Who knows? We're not sure yet.
Yeah. And
but it's quite possible, though, that they're going to link the content of Hearthstone for the upcoming Warcraft expansion. Like, because we saw demons, right? And Legion is it's a demon word, pretty much. So it's quite likely that they're going to have the two expansions, because they also said that they're going to have two expansion and one adventure per year. So in the year 2016, we're going to see an expansion now, an adventure about in, I'd say, June, July, and then in December, another expansion. So or more or less those time frames, put it that way. So I'm pretty sure they're going to exploit the first two content of Hearthstone to kind of launch, kind of create hype about Legion. So who knows? We'll see how that goes and see how that performs.
Indeed. So if there's nothing else you want to talk about, I think we're good
That's
with,
pretty good.
yeah, we're good with what we've said till now. So
Everything should be fine.
you want to plug in your streaming or your
Yes, of course.
association as well?
Yes, of course. My streaming, I stream every day from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. in as a Central European time, and my association is called Pwned.it, so Pwned.it, but it's in Italian, but you can just look anyway. But in my stream, of course, I'll be speaking Italian and English. So just look for Royal Mail, like the English post system, and I'll explain you later why my nickname is in the British
On the next
post system. But
episode,
anyway,
yeah.
on the next episode, on the next episode, and just try Royal Mail, just type Royal Mail Twitch, and you'll find my stream. It's the beard, the massive beard.
As per myself and my association, I mean, you can find my association at www.gamingarena.it. That is also an Italian website. We're mainly concentrated on events managing and organizations, which vary from Hearthstone Fireside Gatherings to League of Legends, Dota, and stuff like that. We're kind of moving around the esport Italian scene. And to find myself, you can just type in at info.hearthworld@gmail.com. Let me say that again. info.hearthworld@gmail.com, and you can find us both, me, Siddhartha, and Royal Mail. For me, that's it. For us, that's it. It's been a pleasure. And bye-bye.
Absolutely. Bye bye. See you next time, guys. Stay awesome.